Thank you, Joe. If I ask you to turn to the Lord's Prayer, how many of you would go to the text that starts out, "Our Father who art in heaven"? Many would. But we want to take a look today at another Lord's Prayer, the Lord's High Priestly Prayer. Matter of fact, there's probably about 650 prayers recorded in the Bible total. Do you realize that? Some 650. Not one of them can touch this prayer in John 17. It's been called the High Priestly Prayer. It's been called the greatest prayer ever prayed. And I believe it is that. If we look at the context of the prayer in John 17, it's just 26 verses. It takes about 6 minutes to read it with a little bit of feeling, not just read slap bang through it, but read it reverently, I suppose. Not much in length, but it sure is a lot in depth and weight. Let's read it together. You follow along as I read, and we'll read the entire prayer. Come back and talk about a few things. Jesus spoke these words, lifted up his eyes to heaven, and said, "Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son also may glorify you, as you have given him authority over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as you have given him. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I have glorified you on the earth. I have finished the work which you have given me to do. And now, O Father, glorify me together with yourself, with the glory which I had with you before the world was. I have manifested your name to the men whom you have given me out of the world. They were yours, you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they have known that all things which you have given me are from you, for I have given to them the words which you have given me, and they have received them and have known surely that I came forth from you, and they have believed that you sent me. I pray, Father, for them. I do not pray for the world, but for those whom you have given me, for they are yours. And all mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I am glorified in them. Now I am no longer in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to you, Holy Father. Keep them through your name, those who you have given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in your name. Those whom you gave me I have kept, and none of them is lost except the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. But now I come to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world, and for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also may be sanctified by the truth. I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one, as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they may also be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. And the glory which you gave me I have given them, that they may be one just as we are one, I in them and you in me, that they may be made perfect in one, that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. Father, I desire that they also whom you gave me may be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which you have given me, for you loved me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world has not known you, but I have known you, and these have known that you sent me. And I have declared to them your name and will declare it, that the love with which you love me may be in them and I in them." Whoa. What makes this such a wonderful and great prayer is a number of things. First of all, no doubt the person who prayed the prayer, Jesus himself. Jesus, who is in John 1:1, was God in the beginning and was with God in the beginning. Jesus, who is known as the creator of all things in John 1, verse 3. Jesus, who is the light of men in John 1, verse 14, or verse 4, excuse me. And he who became flesh and dwelt among us, John 1, and verse 14. That same Jesus is the prayer of this prayer. He's proclaimed through the Gospel of John in a number of ways. The Word in John 1, 1 and John 1, 14. The Lamb of God in John 1, 29. The Son of God, John 1, 34. The King of Israel, John 1, 49. The Promised Messiah, John 4, 25 and 26. The Bread of Life, John 6, 35. The Light of the World, John 8 and verse 12. The Great I Am, John 8, 56 through 58. The Good Shepherd in John 10, 11 and 13. And the Resurrection and the Life in John 11, verse 25. He is all these things, was and is and will be all these things. He never changes. So it's great because of the one who prayed the prayer, but it's also great because of the occasion that warranted this prayer. You know, occasions, situations and occasions give weight to men's words. If Neil Armstrong had said, this is a short step for mankind, or a giant leap for mankind, but one small step for man, whatever it was he said that, if he'd been playing hopscotch with the kids on the sidewalk, that wouldn't have meant much. But it was the occasion of him being the first to step onto the surface of the moon that gave weight and validity to the words he spoke. Same thing here with this particular prayer of Jesus, the occasion. Look at verse 1 in John 17. The very first words of this prayer, Father, the hour has come. Hour meaning not a particular 60 minutes in a day, but the time has come. We sometimes use that same phraseology, the hour of such and such is at hand, or the hour has come. He would say later, the hour is here. Here he says, it is come. What occasion or what hour was that? It was the hour of his appointment with the cross. We have that recorded in Scripture. But that hour was approaching and was now on him, the time when he would go to the cross on behalf of all men to be the sacrifice for our sins. And he prayed this prayer before that took place. It was the hour of separation, betrayal, suffering, and crucifixion. It was the hour or time in which God's eternal purpose is about to be unfolded and carried out. Time in which Jesus is about to bear the sins of the world on that cross on Calvary. We look a little further at the contents of the prayer. It takes us back and forth in time. It takes us back in John 17, verse 5. O Father, glorify me together with yourself with the glory which I had with you before the world was. Can you imagine that before there was anything that we know to be the world or the cosmos or the universe, that in the beginning, before the beginning, Jesus was with the Father, the Holy Spirit, and that's all there was. Just the Godhead. He mentions that glory that I had with you before the world was. From eternity past, we go to the future glory in heaven in John 17, verse 24. Father, I desire that they also whom you gave me may be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which you have given me. For you loved me before the world or the foundation of the world. That future glory in heaven spoken of as well. It deals with glory as another depth. Three great themes, the back and forward in time. It deals with glory. It deals with love, the Father's love for the Son's love for the Father and for mankind. He says of glory, the Father and the Son, John 17:1, the glory of the Father, Son. And 17:10, the disciples glorifying God on earth by continuing with the preaching of the gospel and the words that Jesus had given them. John 17:22, the Son giving glory to his disciples for their work that was to come. And the glory of the disciples beholding the glory of the Son in verse 24. The love theme goes through John 17:23, Father's love for the believers in verse 23, I and them and you and me, that they may be perfect in one, that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. Can you imagine that God loves us the same way he loved the Son? It's pretty awesome. John 17, 23 and 24, the Father's love for Jesus. Verse 24, Father, I desire that they whom you gave me may also be with me. In the bottom of that he says, for you have loved me even before the foundation of the world. Can you just, as we read through this prayer, were you imagining Jesus there praying those words, communicating directly with the Father, and giving up to God's will what he knew was about to be handed down to him on the cross at Calvary? It is amazing. The divisions in this prayer from John's 1, or excuse me, 17, 1 through 5, Jesus prays for himself. Beginning in verse 6 down through verse 19, he prays for his disciples. Beginning in verse 20 through 26, he prays for all believers. He was praying then for you and I and all who will believe in the future and all who have believed in the past. What an awesome prayer this is. He talks about the victory to be revealed and the concern about the world. He uses the phrase the world 19 times. I don't know if you caught that a while ago, how many times he talks about the world. 19 times in 26 verses. And it wasn't in the first five. So, pretty concerned about the world and the effect the world would have on the disciples that he knew then and the disciples that were to come. It's a justifiable concern because we now live in a world which is widely corrupt, as has been for so long. The world has been deceived by Satan. If you go back and look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verses 3 and 4, Paul talked to the Corinthian church about how Satan is corrupted and how the devil gets into our minds and corrupts us through worldly things. It's a dangerous world because it promises fulfillment. How many things in this old world you can just have it your way? You can do it the way you want to do it. You can just do it. All those commercial advertisements that tell us that the world is the way to go. Jesus said it will pass away in another place. But it promises fulfillment. It promises everything that we need to make us happy is out there in the world somewhere. You can have it if you just reach and get it and try hard enough. But it'll pass away. It's a dangerous thing to be caught up in the world. It's a world that's defiled and defiles all who accept its tenets and its securities. It's a world divided. That's evident by the number of different religions. How many people can sit down, if they've not from the same congregation, how many people can sit down and discuss religion for more than 15 minutes without coming up against something they disagree on? Even in the church, we have that same thing happen. You sit down with some brothers and sisters, and you'll find a disagreement point in just a little bit. Part of that's just the way human nature is, because I see it one way, and someone else may see it a different way. But by and large, the world is so sorely divided. What did Jesus say? A house divided against itself cannot stand. The world will not stand being so divided. Yet, Jesus has overcome the world. John 17, 17. He provides sanctification, that setting apart through the truth of God's word. He says, sanctify them, set them apart by your truth, your word. Your very word is truth, he prayed. The greatest prayer ever prayed, the high priestly prayer, whatever you choose to call this prayer, spend some time with it on occasion. Just read it slowly, read it methodically, read it from a standpoint of the Son of God praying to the Father. If you can put yourself in that place, this prayer is awesome, absolutely awesome. Covering all those things, touching bases on all the things we've talked about tonight. I use this prayer simply because we've talked about prayer for the last two Sunday mornings, and it's an important topic for us. It's, I think, something that we don't use often enough, is that avenue of communication from you individually to the creator of the universe. What an awesome thing that is. Let's be more diligent, as I said this morning, in our prayers. It's this prayer prayed on our behalf as well as the apostles, that Jesus knew then what would take place now. He knew no doubt what the world would be like from his standpoint in Gethsemane so long ago. If you're not a disciple, then this prayer really doesn't mean much to you. If you're not a believer, if you're not a child of God, if you've never been baptized for the forgiveness of your sins, the prayer might not mean much. But for the Christian, for the child of God, it means a great deal. It is the greatest prayer that we have in Scripture. The song that's been chosen tonight for our invitation, song of encouragement, is I Need Thee Every Hour. And it wouldn't hurt us to pray every hour, because we do need our Father every hour of every day. Without Him and without His providence in our life, without His providential care, what would we be and where would we be? Give that some concern next time you're alone with your thoughts. Next time you're about to go to the Father in prayer, remember that He has given you the greatest gift of the sacrifice of His Son, and the next greatest gift, the ability to communicate directly with Him whenever you choose. He's always there to hear. The song of selection is 837, I Need Thee Every Hour. As Vicki came forward this morning, and we praise her for that, you may need to come forward tonight with something that's on your heart, or something in your life that needs to be adjusted, or some assistance you need, or help you need. This is the time to do that. And if it's your need, then don't just put it away. Go ahead and follow through, and you'll be the better off for it. We'll be the better off for it, because we can do our Christianly duty and assist you with it. Christian, non-Christian, if you have a need, please come while together we stand and sing.